You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.
Your phone rang. There's a sense of euphoria that comes over you right away because you hear congratulations, welcome to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little bit of a relief that says it is real and, you know, I can relax a bit.
That was Cal Ripken Jr. during his press conference after he had describing his phone call. He got telling him that he got chosen for the Hall of Fame. Welcome to the Baseball Zealot Radio. We had Todd Ventresca, a host for the show from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Todd. How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
All right. And we have a special host for the show today. We have Chuck Lucas from Chicago, Illinois. He's from the north side. Don't be confused or anything. He does not root for the Cubs. How are you doing over there, Chuck?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be on the famous Baseball Zealot Radio show.
Excited
to be here.
We're excited to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
This would be basically a special edition of the Baseball Zealot Radio. I thought we'd cover the Hall of Fame election. That I thought we'd talk a bit about who was chosen, who was not chosen. Did you think that the vote went pretty much how you thought? Were there surprises? What did you think, Chuck?
Well, I thought, obviously, you know, Ripken and Gwynn, that's a no-brainer, I think. I was a little surprised personally. I thought that Rice would get in. Wasn't sure about Gossage. I was expecting to see the three individuals that were elected. At the Tribune on Sunday had published the ballots of, I think, their 9 or 10 eligible baseball writers. And I believe only two people picked McGuire. So
Chuck?
I'm sorry?
Out of how many?
I think it was about nine writers or nine
okay.
or ten that they had in the Tribune. They showed the ballots.
Right.
And I had
had heard from the New York people, I think out of 12, about two were going to vote for McGuire.
Yeah, that's so pretty consistent
that
percentage.
About right.
Well,
exactly.
I mean, since we're talking about McGuire now, I mean,
right.
Steroids aside,
right.
I mean, I think at best he was probably borderline Hall of Famer anyway. Don't you think?
I agree.
Well, it's interesting. I don't. You know.
Are you saying he was borderline Hall of Famer, or he was a Hall of Famer?
Borderline Hall of Famer. I mean, he was pretty much, you know, one dimensional.
I mean,
Harmon would have the same thing, so maybe. I don't know.
I disagree with that. I've been hearing that from a few sports writers around the country, and if you heard that, you know, 5 years ago, that would be unheard of. 583 home runs and 12-time All-Star and, you know, broke the home run, single-season home run record? I don't think so. I think that people are taking the steroid cloud and then using that to, you know, using a few stats to justify the one-dimensional, you know.
Personally, I think the guy should have got in. That's my own feeling. Forget steroids. I mean, it's funny how these voters decide to all of a sudden become, you know, conscious and that these are the same guys.
Right.
Build them up. In 98,
sure.
I mean, the hype was everywhere.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, they found the Andro, and at the time it was like, oh, he's using this. But then it was like, well, but it's not against baseball's rules. But nobody cared.
No. Nobody cared.
Nobody talked about in 98 that the record should be taken away because he was using Andro.
Right.
This is not my argument, but I heard it on one of the talk shows over the last 24 hours. They were mentioning Gaylord Perry, you know, who wrote a book about cheating and the spitter. And here McGuire's involvement in steroids is, partially questionable at least.
He's
never failed a test.
He never, you know, there's questionable behavior in this. But I thought it was interesting, too, that you said you thought he was a borderline Hall of Famer, but still a Hall of Famer, right, Ted?
Yeah, I'd have voted for him.
Yeah, I think, but I, you know, up until the last, I'd say it's been 72 hours. I don't recall anybody even questioning his credentials.
Oh, I
but
I,
lately, starting on the weekend, I kept hearing, well, you know, he only had 1,100 runs and 1,400 RBIs.
Oh,
and I'm thinking,
Chuck,
gee.
Chuck, last weekend I heard a writer say on during an interview that he only had 12 career steals. Someone actually said that.
I would say, who cares? My response to that is, who cares?
I mean,
when he can hit 70 home runs.
Yeah. I mean,
well, it's, you know, 135 home runs in 2 years cures a lot of ills,
right.
You know.
And he only had one gold glove too.
Well, I think that's the thing. People look at that you know, those 2 years back to back, like you just said, 135, Chuck, and they say, well, you throw that out, he's only about 450 homers.
Right.
So I think that's what people are saying when they're coming up with this argument. But I think with these voters, a lot of them are just, you know, they don't want to come out and admit that it was the steroids. They'll come up with all these other reasons not to vote for the guy.
That's exactly it, Todd. That's what I'm trying to say.
I was listening to Dan Patrick yesterday.
Yeah, I would
he brought up
Keith Olbermann.
Well, was before Olbermann was on. It was
Dan Patrick
just by himself at that point. But, you know, he made up some good points. He said, you know, it's funny how these voters all of a sudden decide to turn on their moral compass now when it's convenient for them.
Uh-huh.
And how?
I wish I would have done the research on this. I had a guy I work with who's a big Cardinal fan. He said, according to what he has read, the Hall of Fame ballot says you are to judge on their careers, period.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, not reading much into, you know, what they did on or what they didn't do on the side.
But Patrick was saying, he said, these voters, they're going to have to make a decision. Either they don't vote for anybody who played during the steroid era, or you vote for them and you forget about it. Because nobody knows who used and who didn't use.
Right.
Well, my Cardinal fan at work always points out, he says, gee, what do steroids do? Well, they you know, repair injuries and all that stuff. He says, well, and Rifkin played how many games in a row? That was my Cardinal fan talking. I don't think anybody's talking about the fact that Rifkin may have used it. I'm not certainly professing that, but it was an interesting argument, you know, nonetheless.
Right.
But yeah.
Well,
that,
I think it also leads to a lot of injuries, too. And I think some of the guys you can look at with that, you know, all the guys that are suspected all have had some sort of like hamstring injuries or muscle tears or something.
Sure.
And I think that's one of, you know, you look at, you know, McGuire, all the problems he had with his foot, and then he had the knee problems at the end. Barry's had hammy problems. Sammy really never was hurt, I guess, so maybe.
No.
But Larry Walker suffered with leg injuries all the time.
And yet are guys, there. Mickey Mantle had, you know, nothing but injuries throughout his career, too.
Exactly right.
We were even saying at work, we're talking about, hey, you know, there were the greenies and the amphetamines in the 50s and the 60s. Where
70s and 80s, even
today. Yeah, right,
today,
all the way up.
Even today.
Right.
That's my
Everybody
point.
Admitted it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, so it wasn't against the rules.
Right. Right.
You know, they're breaking federal laws, not baseball laws.
Yeah. Well, the question I had for that, I said, now what do you do with Barry Bonds? Let's say it ended, and I know we're jumping the gun a little bit, say his career ended today and nothing new was shed on the steroids issue. What do you think? I mean, based on this precedent, the guy could set the all-time home run record and, sorry, you're not in the Hall of Fame.
No, I think that's what's going to happen.
Right. It could be.
You know, and these guys are going to, you know, it's going to be really interesting when Roger Clemens comes up.
That's another one, yeah, potential.
You know, last year when the Jason Grimsley list came out and Clemens was on there, right away swept under the rug. No, Roger, nope, it can't be. You know, it was just poo-pooed right away.
This is the only rumor.
You want to look at a guy that has classic symptoms of steroids.
Right.
Everything you hear, you know, I mean, here's a guy, he's in his 40s throwing harder than he ever threw in his whole life.
Right.
Except you could argue Nolan Ryan still, although he started to taper off right about Clemens' age, but Nolan Ryan had some remarkable numbers and remarkable fastball still in his 40s. Maybe he's the freak.
But Chuck?
Yeah.
When Ryan retired, though, he wasn't throwing quite as hard as he was when he came into the league.
Right.
Clemens is throwing harder now than he ever has.
Well, you know.
But, you know, well, regardless, like I said, these guys are going to have to make their decisions. And it's a shame how they're just going to pick and choose guys based on,
right.
you know, whatever the compass is, whichever way it's blowing that day.
Yeah.
And
well,
what I really want to know,
ahead,
what were the guys who didn't vote for Gwynn and Ripken thinking of?
I think there's a guy,
and I don't know. They said it was a suburban writer in Chicago. I'm thinking maybe it's Barry Rosner from the Daily Herald, because I think he's their baseball writer. But I don't know if it's him or not. But that's the one guy I can think of that would be a suburban Chicago baseball writer. But
didn't
vote for anybody. Didn't vote for anybody.
Wasn't Rosner, but it was they had the guy. Might have been on Dan Patrick's show. Might have been on. Yeah, I read that too. The guy didn't vote for anybody. What does that mean? You know,
come on.
The writers, there's been a lot of discussion, too, in the last 2 days about changing the whole process, which I don't think will happen. But
I don't know. What are they
going to
do?
That's true. I mean, well, they were using the Football Hall of Fame, which is, I don't know if that's a good comparison, but I think they use a lot of different, they use that. They also use the Heisman Trophy winner, where you have to vote for one. Maybe they should have a minimum candidates. You know, they need one or two a year. I don't know. You know,
I think that the way they do it right now is not exactly correct, because you have a lot of smart baseball people out there who do not have a vote. I mean, you've got people like Will Carroll, you've got people like Peter Gammons who do not have a vote, and they're smart baseball people who know their stuff. Even people like, you know, Joe Morgan, who I know
Hall of Famers,
but they see a lot of, you know, baseball, and they don't get a vote. It's only two, if I understand it correctly, it's two baseball writers per baseball city. Is that correct?
No, that's the MVP and Cy Young in that.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame is anybody that's a baseball writer. Like,
okay. Yes, years.
There's like 9 or 10 just from the Tribune.
Okay.
I believe it's seniority in that, isn't it, Todd? It's a seniority, and then you get some. Yeah, right. There's 9 or 10 in the Tribune, exactly. And then you never lose it. You could go on to start, you know, covering lacrosse and field hockey, and too bad. You got your card-carrying number, I believe.
Right, okay.
But that, I see a quote here in the Tribune today. I'm sorry, it just says, Gwynn says McGuire is Hall-worthy. So I don't know if you guys caught that.
There you go.
Right.
But Gwynn is saying we can focus on...
Ripken has a different take on that, though. So.
Oh, did he? I didn't hear his counter. I didn't hear that.
He doesn't exactly say McGuire does not belong, but he's a little more reticent about the whole thing. So.
Yeah, he just says, Gwynn says you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
And I focus what's going on the field.
So.
Well, what was Ripken's
McGuire,
quote?
McGuire is one of the one person who didn't make it, but will actually stay on the ballot. Do you know who the other one is, right, Chuck?
The guy who didn't make it who will stay on the ballot?
Harold Baines.
Okay. It was interesting, too, when you say Baines, because the Chicago writers here,
right.
And I'm a big White Sox fan, as you guys know.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
There was probably about... I think it's about 5 or 6 out of the 9 put Baines on, and I'm thinking, how, you know, I love Harold Baines as a guy and an ambassador for baseball, but he, in my mind, was never considered to be the best.
Right.
Well, that's my criteria, as you guys know. You heard it from me before, but the best, was he ever considered the best player either at his position or in baseball?
You know, I'm a Cubs fan, but I still do love Harold Baines, even though I'm a Cubs fan. But as much as I do love Harold Baines, you know, I don't think he dominated his era as much as it takes to be in the Hall of Fame, and as much as I hate to say it to Harold Baines, I just don't think he takes to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Well, Harold benefited. I mean, he ended up with a long career, but he definitely benefited from the DH
over years.
DH
really helped him a lot.
But before he hurt his knees, when he was with the Sox in the 80s and that, I mean, he was definitely their best player. And he was.
What do you think his career average was, guys?
He was a pretty good outfielder, too.
Yeah, he was at the time before the knees went up. What do you guys put him for a career average?
I'm rushing to Baseball Reference right now.
Oh, I am too. Well, I want you guys to guess first.
I would guess he's in the high mid to upper 90s would be a guess.
What'd you say, 290s?
Nope. Oh, you're close,
lower.
Todd.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say 280.
What was it?
289.
Okay.
See,
his numbers don't look bad, I got to tell you. Really look at it like in the longevity.
They don't look
bad.
Got,
no, 1,299 runs, 2,866 hits, 488 doubles, 49 triples, 384 homers, 1,628
ribby. Right.
Yeah.
Even had 34 steals, so more than Maguire. There you go.
Well, that
three
should get him in. Yeah.
That alone, although he did play the outfield, basically stopped playing the outfield like in 1990.
Yeah.
Or before. So.
Chuck,
This Week in Baseball episode back. I think Harold was on there when he was in Baltimore. They went in search of Harold Baines' glove.
Oh, that was great.
I don't remember that one. That's funny. Yeah, he played in 19. Just looking at the area, 19.
Right.
He finished up in 2001, but he last played the outfield in. Oh my gosh, if this is right, back in like 1991.
He played it all up, right, Todd? He was there. He played it for
you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, Chuck,
yeah, I asked you guys, does Harold own a glove? I've never seen it. I don't know. It was really good.
That's so, Chuck, what do you think about Jim Rice? And this is his, 14th year? And he has 15 years to make it on the regular ballot. Do you think he's going to make it, or do you
think
he
will?
Made it?
Yeah, I think he will, and he should. And I think next year might be a year, even a relative a weak crop of guys coming out next year. I did notice, interestingly enough, he had more raw votes this year over last year, but less of a percentage.
Right,
so I guess there's more guys out there voting.
Right.
Again, I think he was, for a period of time in the late 70s, the preeminent hitter in baseball, without most feared hitter in baseball. And for that alone, and the stats are certainly aren't bad either, should make. I don't know what's Pat's thoughts on that. I'm curious. I don't know if we've jousted on that on Jim Rice. Yeah.
Should have been in 10 years ago.
Okay, you're with me on that one, yeah. I don't understand that.
If not sooner.
There's no like halfway between for people on Jim Rice. Either you,
I don't think, yeah.
You think that he should have been in there 5 years ago, or what's he doing on the ballot?
I can't understand. I don't know how anybody can make an argument against him. I mean,
maybe the
look at the guys
thing,
double plays and he faded out so quickly.
Oh, the double plays. He didn't fade out that quick. But he was a rookie at 75.
You listened to our show last week, I guess.
He was a rookie at 75, and then when did he finish up? 88, 89?
He finished in 89.
He finished
exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, how long has a guy got to play?
No, yeah. I mean not in terms
Disney
of...
Disney Dean
of
played
when
5 years,
when
6 years, or whatever.
Year, but when did he... When did he stop being good, is what we're saying. What I'm saying.
He probably had, looking at this, he probably had from 70, if you count 75, wasn't a great year, but
he
probably
rookie.
Had. Yeah, I know, exactly. He started his, but he still had 102 RBIs.
On the American League Championship team, he was
he had 102 RBIs.
Don't get me wrong, Todd and Chuck. I'm not saying he doesn't belong. I'm just repeating the arguments I've heard.
Yeah. Well, I'd say he's good. Looking at this, I'd say he was good for a solid 5-6 years. They're real good. I mean, you know, real
dominant,
good.
Dominant.
Yeah.
I agree.
But, and he was very feared. I just remember, you were getting over the era that he was the guy, you know,
I'll
but
briefly repeat what I said in the last show. What kind of really irritates me is what the media and a few writers in particular are voting against Rice, because Rice has been very, quote, surly with the media, and he's not a personable character, and that just really, you know, quite honestly pisses me off. No reason to vote against a person.
Yeah, then Ty Cobb shouldn't be in, huh? I mean,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe the media liked him.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But well, I mean, Dave
Ted Williams.
Well, Ted
Williams. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of those guys.
Joe DiMaggio was not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Do you guys know that?
Yeah.
I mean.
But, see, that kind of thing.
That is amazing,
I'm sorry, but, you know, just because a player is not friendly with the media, and I realize the media votes for these players, so therefore is a you know, a circular, cyclical thing. But I just don't buy this. You have to be friendly with us for us to vote for you. That kind of thing just kind of, you know, sort of irritates me.
Yeah, I'm looking at the, if you guys indulge me for a moment, I'm looking at the 2008 class. The additions are going to be Sean Dunstan, David Justice, Mike Morgan, Tim Raines, who I think, if I look at it carefully enough, I think belongs, but then he's an admitted drug user. Oh, well, we go down a different road there. I don't know.
But he paid, I mean, again, the guy.
Yeah, but I mean, instead of helping him.
Take Fergie Jenkins out, Orlando Cepeda, right? Take them out then.
But if you say that, go back to McGuire, and I know I belabored it already, but if you say that, that was performance enhanced, I guess. What about Reigns?
It didn't make him bigger. It didn't make him bigger.
Although McGuire, you could argue, in 1987, he still holds the rookie record, and he wasn't all that big then. But they were back. I want to go back over that.
You know, steroids, they'll make it bigger, they make you stronger. They might increase your bat speed. You still got to hit the ball.
Right.
Unless you're Alex Sanchez. What about, Alex Sanchez.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Randy Velarde was one of the guys that failed the first round of steroid tests. Right?
It turned him from a double-A hitter to a bench major leaguer or a little bit. You're right. I think McGuire was great either with or without. Maybe he was better with, or allegedly.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll cover all that.
Was that check on Tim Raines, and that was the last one?
Yeah, Raines and, Dunstan. It doesn't look like a big drop. Yeah, it was Dunstan, Justice, Morgan, and Raines are the new guys coming on.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think Raines would be the only potential candidate there. So I would think it opens it up for a Rice, and I'm predicting Gossage. Rice and Gossage
well, but
next
we haven't
year.
Talked about Goose Gossage yet. I think
Goose Gossage. Yeah, I mean,
should he be first of all? I think
he should have went in before Suter, in my opinion.
A lot of people say that.
You know,
why do you say that?
I'm forbidden to say that because I'm a Cub fan.
Yeah. Why do you say that? Why do you say that, Todd? I'm curious.
To me?
Yeah, or any either. Why do you guys say he should be ahead of Suter?
I don't.
I think he was.
You don't.
Well, personally, I mean, I thought he was better, and he was doing it a little bit earlier than Suter was. Not much, but a little earlier. And I just think he's a better pitcher. He pitched longer. And
who was the coach that decided to start him?
Paul Richards.
Richards, yeah, that's right.
Paul Richards, 1976.
Six.
9-17.
Yep,
not
he got
good.
Traded. Him and Terry Forster got traded to the Pirates in the offseason.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. And then again, the next year, free agent.
Right.
Yeah, he had a monster year for the Pirates, and that was it. He went to the Yankees.
I heard a good stat today, and I caught the paper, or was it yesterday again? They said Gossage in 1975 with the beloved White Sox had 17 stints of three innings or more.
Yeah. See, that's
wow.
And
he's not done anymore.
And he had a couple three-inning stints with the Pirates, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he pitched 133 innings for the Pirates all out of the pen.
Yeah.
So out of 72 games, that's like two appearances, which, of course, doesn't happen anymore.
But he didn't have 30 saves.
No, he didn't. You are a genius. 26, as I look at it now.
And
unless
I think
you have
the league
base.
Leader. I think that no, I don't. I have it up, but not the Gossage. I got another guy I want to talk about up too. But
blown saves though. 10 blown saves that year. Now that I don't know.
He's pitching three innings.
Well, yeah, that's right. Part of it.
you give up one run in three innings, you're going to blow the save.
I'm looking at the ESPN Baseball Encyclopedia where it has blown saves for his career. He saved 310 and blew 112. That's about a 75%
But it was a different
percentage.
Game then, Chuck.
It was, no question.
He's not coming in with a three-run lead and pitching one inning.
Right.
He's coming in with one inning with a one-run lead and pitching three innings. I mean,
I got to know what Suter is, and you know what? Almost exactly the same. 300 saves and 101 blown.
So there you go.
Pretty close.
One more non-winner I want to talk about before we finish up with the winners is the Hawk, Andre Dawson. Do you think he should get in or has a chance to get in before his chance is up.
I don't think he belongs. It's just I never thought of him as a Hall of Famer. I thought of him as a good ball player, but never a Hall of Famer.
I love Andre Dawson, and he's a great guy. And I've heard he's a really a real gentleman and a real nice guy and a great ball player. But you know, I try to justify it, but no, I agree.
So was Manny Sanguian, but you know, he's not.
Yeah, right.
You know what? I'm gonna take. You know, maybe I'm pretty liberal, but I think the guy belongs. If you know, he still stole 300 bases, was a tremendous fielder.
Fielder.
400 plus home runs, 1591 ribbies, 2700 hits. I mean, what do you got to do? I don't know. Want
walk
an MVP
a
in there?
Walk a few times.
Well, no, not any Met, but he. Yeah, that's for the sake of the dishes.
I mean,
so we get the
Hawkins. Yeah,
the guy hit by pitches, though.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes walks can be a little overrated. I mean, he was always a guy that was coming up. He was counted on the driving runs, and you know, always want to go up there to take the walk. I mean, sometimes I don't always look at that. You know, based
one,
on
well, the one memory. The one
memory
like
Jeff Francoeur? I'm sorry, that's another story.
Yeah, it's a little different.
The
situation.
One memory I have of Dawson when he was on the Cubs is when he took second base on a fly ball, and I just had that memory this kind of shows his how he was always on the ball, keeping an eye on things and not just making things happen. And you just don't see that happen very much as it did today. I don't know why that memory sticks in my head, but
I don't either. Because I remember Mickey Morandini doing the same thing.
Yeah, well.
That's funny. I always thought Mickey had a shot at the Hall.
You have a different sense of heroes than I do.
No, I'm just kidding.
You gotta like Mickey Morandini. Come on.
Pittsburgh boy, man.
Woo.
Is it? I thought he, and that's true. I guess he was out of the burg, as they say. You know, what can I tell you? But
I think he is. There's another guy though. I mean, you talk guys that I personally, this guy I think belongs.
Dave Buehner,
Burt Blyleven.
Okay,
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, right. Only got 47% of the vote, I think, this time around.
Right.
Like, start
come
to fade.
On.
How about Tommy John, though, if you let Blyleven? And I don't.
Well, I'm just saying, you look at Burt Blyleven's numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And compare him to Fergie Jenkins' numbers.
Todd, you know I'm a big Burt Blyleven.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, you compare him to Fergie Jenkins. I mean.
Right. Well, let's not go too far here, Todd.
Well, he
look at the numbers, Tom. I mean, it's based on.
You know I'm in Blyleven's. I'm in Blyleven's corner. Touted his stats before. I totally agree with you on that one.
I do too. Burt hits.
I don't know why he has a problem getting in.
Understand it either.
I can't figure it out for the life of me. You know,
I don't
get 287 wins. What's the matter with that?
That's right.
60 shutouts.
K's and shutouts and the home run. Sorry.
You know, there is a certain bias against people born in the Netherlands. I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think that's another guy that definitely belongs. Blyleven. I said I just can't figure out how he didn't go.
Well, here's one that you don't that I think belongs, and you guys don't agree with. I think I don't think you do. At least Alan Trammell, I think, is another guy.
I think he belongs.
You do. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I do too. And he keeps
absolutely.
I don't understand.
And I'll tell you what. Compare him.
You
tell you what. And a lot of people laugh at this and make me think I'm nuts. But if you really want to look at the careers, and you tell me who you would rather have on your team,
I know. I thought you were going to say
Ozzie Smith.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
Alan Trammell.
I thought you were going to say Cal Ripken for a minute there.
Well, yeah, I thought them too. Both
maybe,
of them.
Maybe.
I'm telling you. I mean, now, Ozzie Smith was a great defensive player. Trammell was very good, too. But offensively, you can't compare the two.
No, offensively, no.
You can't compare the two.
Right.
And I don't, you know, Trammell was a heck of a shortstop. Defensive
shortstop. Oh, yeah, no question.
Be careful where you go there, Todd.
Oh.
About that defensively stuff, because you get, you know, you can talk about Bill Mazeroski right now.
Whatever.
We're not going to bring up the poster child for. I'll say the poster child for second base defense. That's all I'm going to say.
Bring that up. Sorry.
My point is, I think Alan Trammell is very worthy. He was one of, you know, I mean,
what
the
do you
guy
think
was,
of Trammell? Tom, what are you thinking?
I guess he's on the bubble for me.
Okay, see it strongly both ways.
Yeah, I do.
Bill James, by the way, in the Historical Abstract, for what it's worth.
Wonderful book, by the way.
It is.
I
guess, where do you think Alan Trammell ranked in that book?
I should know, because I read the book every night. How high is he?
Ninth, all time.
Ninth?
So
is it really that high?
Yeah.
Wow.
And now let's continue. Dave Concepcion, who I guess gathered some additional support, they were saying. I don't know.
Oh, yeah?
What do you guys think on Concepcion?
I think Chavez promised some oil to guys if they voted for him.
We're getting into the hall of the very good right now.
Yeah. Well, of course, I believe Dale Murphy belongs, but that's me.
Oh, here we go.
Well, listen, come on. Back to the MVPs. The MVPs.
Yeah, Roger Maris was back-to-back MVPs as well.
Right, yeah.
I think Maris belongs. I'm a big tent guy. It's a big, let's build another wing, I say. Let's build it. It doesn't say Hall of the Very Best. It says Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, come on. There we go. Or Lee Smith had a tough time even. It'll be interesting. What do you guys think for next year? I'm going with Gossage and Rice. That's kind of probably the favorites, I guess.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think Rice is going. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
After all this time, it's still not even getting 60%. I mean, I don't think it's happening.
Right.
I really don't. I don't see it. I wouldn't be surprised if nobody goes next year.
Interesting is the lower candidate.
Gossage might. Gossage was close. Gossage was over 70% this year.
He had a high percentage.
Yeah, he was like 71 point something.
Yeah, and he's got the New York push coming and the Chicago push coming. I think that'll help.
Goose might get it next year, but I just don't see Rice going. I mean, Rice only had 40 more votes than Andre Dawson, I think, from when I saw the totals.
I was surprised Albert Bell dropped off the ballot. I'm not being facetious. I really was. I mean, the guy had some of the best years in history.
That's what I'm saying. You think Dale Murphy should go, you can definitely make a case for Albert Bell.
Oh, yeah, but what was the common thread with our buddy Albert? Not a big fan of the sports writers and Rice.
No, right.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
I mean,
so the guy had arguably maybe one of the greatest seasons that year. He did something nobody else ever did, 50 doubles and 50 homers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, sure, the course
did he
bad,
hit that one?
Big deal.
Yeah. So one year, he hit 35 home runs after the All-Star game.
Was that with the Sox? Or no, he had a great year with the Sox, I remember. But
his second year, yeah. Right?
And who else can you know, hit like 50 doubles and 50 homers and fill out his own taxes, too?
You go.
Really, I mean, come on. For that alone, maybe that should be Hall of Fame material. He had actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Last 9 years of his career, he had over 100 ribbies.
Yeah.
Good shape.
I got no problem with Albert Bell.
No,
I don't either. Yeah, except, you know, 974 runs and 1,239 RBIs. But you know what? I can make it. You know, for 5 years, he was the best hitter.
And he played hard.
Right.
Yeah.
He played hard. He was a butcher in the outfield, but he played hard.
He did.
You know?
He did play hard. There's no question about that. So I don't. Jack Morris, I thought, got another short shrift, too. I don't know.
That's another guy. I mean, but I think when you look back on Morris's career, I think as time goes by, he's going to get more support. And I think the knock on him has always been the ERA. But, you know, he's like one. He came in, you know, right. Well, I mean, he pitched through the whole DH era when all the pitchers' ERAs have gone up, you know.
Sure.
In the American League. Look at the guys that are going to be coming up for consideration now. They're all going to have ERAs in the threes, you know, in like 5-10 years.
Uh-huh.
And these guys, they're all going to have ERAs up there now. I mean,
and it's considered a good ERA now.
Yeah.
You want the
live ball, the juice of the ball or whatever they're saying. Who knows?
Right.
But, you know, but the DH and the – and you got to look – you know, if there was steroids, then, you know, did that affect their numbers? I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I noticed Tony Fernandez had more votes for the Hall of Fame than did Eric Davis. I thought that's kind of interesting, whatever that's worth. I don't know. none for Scott Brosius. Sorry, Todd, I know all your personal favorites there. Although one, as you alluded to earlier, one for Jay Buhner.
Right.
and two for the late Ken Caminiti.
I heard somebody say they were going to vote for him just because he's the guy that brought the whole steroids issue to the front.
Yeah, it's like I really need to find out what the instructions are for the Hall. Yeah, that, you know, come on. Yeah, I've heard that too, you know.
Then. Why don't we put Pete Rose in for bringing the whole gambling and baseball
right.
to
That's
the
right.
front?
Well, then Canseco should be in too, right? He got six votes, by the way. But Dave Parker with only.
So, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
I'm the director of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I hire you
to... Hey, congratulations. Where'd you get that?
Thanks.
So I hire you to write the plaque for Cal Ripken Jr. What are you going to write?
I'm going to write Steady as She... Oh, I'm good. Go ahead. I'm sorry. The Rock, Steady as She Goes, underrated fielder, and almost like Mr. Baseball for the, you know, the ambassador of baseball. Either don't know how genuine it is, but he certainly is perceived as almost the Michael Jordan, if you will, of his era.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll put Michael Jordan on his plaque, by the way. Sorry.
No, probably not.
Yeah. You think we'll go with the Bulls?
What would you do? What would you write for Gwynn?
Tony Gwynn. In my era, the greatest left-handed hitter I ever saw, and that was for a long time thinking it was, you know, like Rod Carew.
Right.
But I think Tony Gwynn maybe gets the slight edge over him and Boggs, and another guy that was an underrated outfielder, had a very accurate throwing arm back when he could move in the outfield, and just a complete hitter, the consummate hitter. I don't know what else you can say about the guy.
The one Tony Gwynn story that I gleaned off of, maybe it was Dan Patrick's show when I was out in the car this afternoon, they talked about Gwynn is crediting his conversations with Ted Williams, and I think he said in the summer of 92 or around 1992, with bringing him to the next level. If you look up his numbers after 92, they just, you know, he had 358, 394, 368, 353, and 372 for those 5 years. they said Ted told him, which is kind of amazing. He said,
take
I thought I was
needle.
Being. Pardon?
Take this needle, jab it in your butt 3 times a week, and you'll be great.
Yeah. He said, Williams said Williams told Gwynn he wasn't being aggressive enough. He says, I thought I was being aggressive. But obviously, you know, Teddy Ballgame knows best.
There's another guy that didn't take walks, Tom.
That's right.
There's another guy that didn't walk.
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. When you hit 338 lifetime, do you really care if you don't walk? Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, that's my point. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right, right.
He mentioned that about Andre Dawson. Well, he could have taken a walk. Well, you know.
Yeah, but but they also talked about, Tony also talked about, or Dan Patrick brought up how the bleacher bums at Wrigley Field get on about his weight. He says, yeah, I came to terms with that. He says, I don't care, you know.
Right,
that's the body God gave me, and, you know, like you said, if you can hit 338 with that body, who cares?
Yep. Yeah, he was awesome. He was a great hitter, hitter.
Hard to believe he's, you know, in comparison to Ripken, I think the public perception, he's much much more overshadowed, probably because of the shortstop
really
versus
is.
Outfield.
Yeah,
underrated for a guy hit, you know.
You know, Ripken got the 5,422,000 games too in a row.
Yeah, so. That's true. That's true. They said, yeah, right.
He had the, you know, that was a big focus, you know, when he went to break that. I mean, it was all over.
How many, did I hear this right? The ones he played after the streak still would be the hot. Let's see if I'm saying this.
What did he play, about 400 or 500?
Yeah, 500 after that, which was still the best streak since that time, is what I'm trying to say.
Could be.
So that's still kind of amazing, I guess, you know. Right. And I remember as a kid seeing the Lou Gehrig number, and I remember looking at that, you know, like, how did he do that? And here Ripken just blows it away. But who would have thought we'd see another Gehrig in our time? But that's true in a sense.
As far as games played, yeah.
Well, not overall. Yeah, and 276 lifetime average, but shortstop, you know.
Right.
So
I got no problem with him going. That's
The top voting percentages, he moved in, as you guys probably heard, to third place in the all-time top voting percentages.
Right.
A little trivia question.
Ryan,
you know who's
Seaver,
number one?
Yeah. Tom Seaver.
You heard it. Yeah, Ryan second.
Ryan.
Good. Yeah. And Ripken third. And Gwynn was up there too, 97-6.
Yeah, I know.
So.
He was way up there.
But
much better,
you know,
than Tate.
I mean, are they the best ball players of all time?
See, that's,
I mean,
that's the thing, you know. I think the media is making a really big issue about it, and like Tom Seaver and, you know, and
just because more people happen to vote that one year, maybe.
That would make a big impression on me that they're the best players. No,
is it number of votes or is it percentage? It has to be number of votes.
Percentage.
Right.
But has it ever been unanimous?
No, never been unanimous.
No, never.
Okay. Babe Ruth and Honus Wagner are now 11th and 12th in percentage on the all-time list.
Yeah, they probably had, you know, 50 guys voting and, you know what I mean?
Right.
So.
One guy forgot to mail his ballot in. Another guy, he couldn't read it or something like that. Who knows? 1936.
Yeah. I think that whole storyline is been played out, you know, way too much and means not too much to me. I think it's just, I don't know.
You know, and who was up in those years?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You know, a lot of times there's only one guy that went in that year. I mean, if he's the only clear cut guy going in, then, yeah, everybody's going to vote for the guy.
I mean, nothing against Tom Seaver or anything like that, but, you know, I don't really consider him to be, obviously the best Hall of Famer out there.
Not the best, but I tell you what, he was a pretty damn good pitcher.
Yeah. 425 votes out of 430 cast for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Hard to believe he beat out Nolan Ryan, really, because I think the public's perception and even the sports fans' perceptions are Ryan is much better pitcher than Seaver. I'm not saying they're accurate. It's just the perception.
Sure.
I don't know if I'd agree with that, though, Chuck, to be honest with
you. No, I don't. Well, I think the public perception, we've kind of talked about that with Nolan Ryan being.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the other difference, too, Nolan Ryan played in the ESPN age and Tom Seaver didn't.
Right.
That's the other thing, too. You know, these guys playing today, they're hyped up by ESPN big time.
Sure.
You know.
But yet Seaver had a higher percentage somehow. Whether it's the New York factor, I guess, or
Maybe, could be. Or, like I said, I'd like to see who was on the ballot that year that he was on.
True, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Chuck, any last words you want to impart to the listeners regarding yesterday or future of the Hall of Fame?
Well, I keep saying this. The one thing about the Baseball Hall of Fame balloting and the voting, it's, again, just like the All-Star Game, it's one of the only sport probably where people really care about the Hall of Fame results. And to me, and it's also kind of gruesome to me, that makes it the best of all the Hall of Fame voting. So I look forward to the veteran. I think the veterans are coming up in a couple
February.
Of weeks, is it?
Yep.
February. Yeah, February. Okay. Yeah. I think Sano should make it. I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. I know that's not the question, but I think thinking that Sano should make it.
That's another one.
Fan.
I mean,
see.
You can
have a
shirt. Who knows? They haven't put anybody in since they went through the rules.
I look forward to discussing that, the lack of, in the next few weeks. So.
Well, can we have you on again?
I'd be glad to be delighted, yeah. Look
that
forward
to it.
That
would be great. Todd, any last words?
Not really. I mean, it's just that, you know, it's nothing.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you both on, and I want to mention.
Hey, I got to let the JD Drew. JD Drew hasn't signed his contract yet.
I know. There we go. We got to keep
that's
on.
That's it.
That's and
it.
And it's been about a month and a half, probably, right?
Yeah.
Great. And
good for him. I hope he never signed it.
It's going to be the JD Drew watch, right? Oh my God.
How does Steve Boris have enough hours in his day to keep track of all his? Quiet, huh?
How does he have enough hours in a day just to take care of that guy?
Well, that's true.
It'd be like having a wife.
Good point. I'm not going there. I'm not touching that one.
No, I'm not either. My wife listens to the show once in a while. No,
yeah.
I know better.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. I didn't mean it quite like that. We have good wives. We have good wives.
I'm letting you step over whatever you want to step on that one. I'm not.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
I just want to mention that our next show is going to be with special guest Sean Foreman, who maintains the baseballreference.com website, which I think all three of us have been probably using during their show.
It's an awesome site.
Awesome site. Anyway, Sean Foreman will be our guest during our regularly scheduled show. He will be interviewing him. He'll be on. He'll talk to us about the baseball reference. Give us a sense of what how the website came about and what it takes to run the site, and maybe you can let us know what the new things will be coming on. I think I'm really looking forward to talking to him about it, because I'm a big user of the site. So stay tuned. I think that'll be it.
Well, one last thing, Chuck.
Yes.
Chuck?
Yes, sir.
Harold Baines last played the outfield in 1997.
Oh, I didn't see it in my site, but that was a cameo, huh?
He played one game in 97. He played 23 in 92.
Is that with the Beloved Sox? He was out there in 97 or no? Would
that
be the Orioles?
That would have been the
Oakland.
Orioles.
Orioles.
The Orioles, okay.
Yeah,
I don't remember him patrolling. Yeah, I don't ever remember him in the new Sox Park or whatever we're calling it these days itself. But
yeah, he was out
those
there
are the days.
One time. But the last time he played it a little was in 92. He had 23 games with Oakland.
That's, what can you tell you? Good old Harold.
You've been listening to Baseball Zealot Radio.